St. Augustine, whose memorial the church celebrates this upcoming Wednesday, once said, "If you believe what you like in the gospel and reject what you do not like, it is not the gospel you believe, but yourself." Although this observation was made in the 4th century, we see this dynamic in our gospel this evening and among our fellow sisters and brothers in the faith. Over the past 4 Sundays, our gospel readings have been from the Bread of Life discourse from John. These readings are meant to encourage us to deepen our devotion and understanding what Jesus teaches us and gives us when we approach the altar of this heavenly banquet to receive the bread of life. How appropriate and fortunate that we have heard these readings as the church moves forward with a renewed affiliation for the Eucharist, as exhibited during last month's National Eucharistic Congress. This event was initiated by the results of a 2019 Pew Research survey, which reflected that 71% of Catholics did not believe that Jesus is truly present in the Eucharist. That is an astounding number if you think about it. It means 3 out of 10 people in a pew did not believe in the true presence of Jesus. The overall purpose of this gathering was to educate Catholics on the true presence of Jesus in the Eucharist and rekindle the spiritual relationship that we all should have when meditating upon the gift of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, something that is the message of tonight's gospel. We hear how Jesus is pursued by the crowds across the Sea of Galilee to Capernaum after they had witnessed him feed thousands from a meager portion of 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. The people are drawn to Jesus by this miracle, but their perception is hindered by the physical meaning of the occurrence as opposed to the divine. Jesus knows that their understanding is limited, so he teaches them about the finite nature of the bread that God had gave to their ancestors to eat in the desert, and the eternal life of bread that he will give himself. However, despite after listening to Jesus preach and witnessing the signs accompanying his ministry, the crowd began to question and doubt Jesus' words, and they justified their actions by commenting on Jesus' relation to Mary and Joseph. Jesus refutes their assertions, and in doing so lies the turning point. The path and the road of discipleship becomes more clearer or dimmer with the ascent or descent of faith, to believe or not to believe in the gospel. Jesus tells the people quite literally that his body is to be consumed. There is no ambiguity in the words he had spoken. There is no parable to decipher. The truth could not be more clearer. "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." Shock resonated through the crowd and the disciples, for the practice of human sacrifice was a reality of that era, something that no devout Jew would even consider or partake in, as reflected in their comment, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus reiterates this revelation to them once more, which tells us that the consecration of the bread and wine by the priest during the Eucharistic prayer is not just a symbolic gesture. The nature and elements truly become the body and blood of Jesus. The testimony of Jesus became a decider for those who had chosen to believe in some parts of the gospel, Jesus feeding the multitudes and rejecting what they did not like, Jesus telling them that he is the bread of life that came down from heaven, and whoever partakes of his body and blood will have eternal life. Despite being given a mission by Jesus to cast out demons, heal the sick, and preach that the kingdom of God was at hand. Witnessing firsthand the truth of Jesus' words, many of those disciples found this teaching too hard to accept and went their separate ways. So Jesus then turns to the 12, those he called to follow him at the onset of his earthly ministry, and asks if they want to leave. And from the words of Simon Peter, we have the answer. Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and are convinced that you are the Holy One of God. The apostles chose, with the exception of the betrayer, to not believe in themselves, but rather to believe in the fullness of the gospel, the good news that Jesus shares to those the Father has granted to him. Friends, we are those for whom God has granted the grace to be in the company of his beloved Son. We are those who Jesus turns towards on a daily basis to trust and believe in his words, to have resilient faith in a culture and society that finds his teachings too hard to accept, especially on matters of morality and the sanctity of human life. From our call of baptism and our continued journey as disciples, Jesus constantly invites us to remain with him, and it's through the Eucharist that we have the bread that gives eternal life, the food that nourishes our spirit and deepens our relationship with Jesus. The truth that we have the responsibility not only to believe in, but to profess to our fellow sisters and brothers in faith, as made evident from a survey in 2022, which reported that 69% of Mass-going Catholics believe in the true presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. Although these statistics are more promising than a Pew survey, what has occurred among the 31% that do not believe in the true presence of Jesus? Something that Pope Francis has reflected upon. Sadly, there are among the Catholic faithful who believe the Eucharist is more a symbol than the reality of the Lord's presence and love. The Eucharist is God's response to the deepest hunger of the human heart, the hunger for authentic life. For in the Eucharist, Christ himself is truly in our midst to nourish, console, and sustain us on our journey. Perhaps in our own lives, we know of family members or friends who are experiencing a crisis of faith, who seem to have no desire or interest to receive Jesus in Holy Communion or believe in the true presence. Is there a way that we might invite, encourage, or inspire them to come back to the Lord's banquet? There are no easy answers, but we need to keep asking the questions and asking and praying for the grace to be in deeper communion with Jesus and with one another. From the words of St. Peter, to whom shall we go? So as we leave Mass today, what steps do we take to deepen our relationship with Jesus in the Eucharist, to live and believe in the totality and fullness of the gospel, so that by our example of faith, we may encourage others to believe in the one who has the words of eternal life, the one who is the bread of life, the one truly present in the Eucharist.